horny, right?
Nope. You have to let this play. It has to be a long intro.
Let's let it ride out.
First time for
everything. Let it ride.
Yeah. We got this far.
Yep.
Are we good, you think?
I think we're good.
Are we good?
No, I think we're good. I think that's our cue now.
And cut. So it's on that note, welcome to The Long Two, episode one.
From Luckett's, Virginia.
Luckett's, Virginia. I'm Matt Deanna, he's
Steve Harding.
And welcome, this is our first episode, we're trying something new, so bear with us on the technical difficulties and everything else. We'll see how this goes. But you probably got here from nyloncalculus.com, I hope so. Or you already subscribed to Hardwood Paroxysm on iTunes, either way. Hopefully you make it to the end of this and you keep listening going forward. But
absolutely. Should we just get right into it?
Let's get right into
it. All right, so it's the first episode. We're starting with the playoffs. We're starting at the top. Why not? Yeah, we'll just get right into some matchups. We'll
yep, let's go with positions. It. Gold State, New Orleans. We go with 1-8, but I don't think there's going to be much challenge with these guys going in.
So I think the real question is not who's going to win, but how many games is it going to take?
I usually don't like to call sweeps in any of these series, especially the first round. Just, typically a team's going to steal a game, but I don't see Golden State losing. They're clicking, firing on all cylinders right now. Yeah, I mean, Steph Curry's by far my lead for MVP. He's just amazing to watch week in, week out.
I have a statistic for you. Huh. Shocking as this may be, consider my name is Hoop Nerd on Twitter. Not that I'm pushing my Twitter handle or anything. But Golden State finished this year with a top two offense and defense, which is hardly ever done. The point differential, so how much points they won by every game, was more than 10 points. That's only been done 7 times previously. And this has been quoted all over the place. So it's not like
five of those teams have been national?
Six of the seven have won it all. Yep. The seventh was the 71 Bucks, and they lost to the Lakers, who also posted a greater than 10 differential. So obviously the Warriors aren't going to lose. The real question is, can the Pelicans win? I think they might, maybe, kind of sort of squeeze one out at home, possibly.
You know, Davis has been playing amazing. You know, the biggest problem I see with them trying to get it is, Steph Curry handles the ball 90% of the game. The best players, I would say, on Golden State are their guards. So they get the ball. Anthony Davis sits in the key. You have to run plays. You have to get him the ball. You have to get him the rock. Get him the looks. I mean, that's something you can play to. You can defensively take that away. Could it happen? Absolutely. I think Golden State maybe is a little weaker in the post. I'm blanking on his name. What's his name from Michigan State?
Draymond Green.
Yep.
Buddy Green.
He's tough down there. He put some muscle in. They definitely needed it. That's something they lacked last year. And have that mean, the toughness, that grit underneath.
If he guards Davis, that'll be a really interesting matchup.
I don't think he will.
You don't think at all?
I don't know. He may. From their previous matches.
Defending him will be their only issue, but regardless, it'll be. Do you think it's a sweep or not?
I think it's a sweep.
You think it's a sweep?
I think it's a sweep.
Should I write these down? Should we keep track of this?
We should keep track of this.
Throw
odds up there.
Noted. All right. So you're saying Golden State in four?
Yeah. I mean, Davis is, he's easily in the, I'd say, top four running for league MVP. I mean, he's
absolutely
the beast.
Well, we'll get to the MVP probably next week. But also, I put something together. It'll be available on Friday. Because we're recording this Thursday night, because there's no games on, so what else were we going to do? So
absolutely.
Let's start a podcast.
Yeah.
Did we mention this is called The Long Two?
The Long Two.
The Long Two, okay.
Yep. The best and worst shot of the game, right there.
Exactly. And we probably represent the worst podcast in the game right now, so that's good, right?
That's because we're just starting.
We'll
just change the name when we get it together. Yeah. People never know.
As soon as we get sponsorship. No, it's fine. Like this Subway. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so you've got Golden State on the sweep.
I got Golden State in the sweep.
I'm saying Golden State in five.
All right.
All right, what's next? Portland and Memphis. The four and the five. Quick tangent. Divisions are useless.
Yes.
I think this is agreed upon at this point.
Absolutely.
Portland is technically the four seed, and they don't have home court advantage.
No.
That doesn't make any sense to my brain. I don't get it. But
not a bit.
This is what we have to work with. But regardless, who do you like in this?
You know, Memphis is a gritty team. They play tough, and for me, when you play tough, that wins you playoff basketball. You know, basketball needs to be played in the playoffs. Look at the Spurs. That's example number one. I mean, that's pretty much all you have to look at. They play basketball. True, defense, offense, it's everything. You get in there and you got to get everything going. Memphis plays like that, but they don't have the shooting, I don't think.
They got Courtney Lee, which is a good three-point shooter, but they're not known for threes. They take very few. It's all about the low post game, which is fine. They play to their strengths, and they've got a lot of strengths. Conley's a beast. He can get to the rim with either hand. And Gasol and Randolph combined. I love Gasol in the high post. It's just great to watch.
Now Memphis swept Portland throughout the season.
Really? Yeah.
So 4-0.
The biggest thing, I think, for Portland is injuries. Matthews being gone hurts on defense more than anything. Offense, Aflalo's been nice for them. But he's hurt, so he should be back in time, I think. But I am personally a Damian Lillard fan. I love this game.
Lillard's great.
Especially in the fourth quarter. He's Taco Bell. It's fourth meal time in crunch time.
He's dishing almost 6 assists a game. A little over 6, actually. So, I mean, that's...
The problem is, I don't know if they can stop, like you said, I don't know if they can stop Memphis' big man. Regardless, I think this is a good series. What do you think? How many games?
I think it's a good series. I think Memphis actually takes this series. I think they win it in... I think Memphis gets it in 6.
In 6?
Yeah.
In 6. I can't entirely disagree with that. I will have to... I want to say the Blazers, but I can't do it because of the injuries. I really like Robin Lopez, too. See, he's a good body on one of their bigs. And I love Aldridge's game. Bold prediction... LaMarcus Aldridge is the next Dirk Nowitzki.
Wow.
That mid-range game is beautiful. He embodies the good qualities of the long two.
Yes, but does he have the one-footed fade?
We're going to make a logo for this podcast, and it might be his face. I'm not sure yet.
I like it. It might have to be. All right.
Out of respect. Or it might just need to be Dirk for a handful of reasons. But regardless... I'm going to say Memphis in 7. It's just every team's going to win the home court game for them.
All right.
We're going to have to disagree eventually.
I think so, too. Well, we kind of disagreed in the first round. I mean, that's a sweep.
That's true. All right, now this matchup is messed up. The Clippers get the 3 seed, and by winning the 3 seed in the West, you get to play the Spurs.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
I think the... I mean, what can you say? The Clippers, I would say run and gun, but they're not really a run and gun team. They're kind of a run and dunk. I mean, that is what they do. Chris Paul's been playing like an animal this year.
Any other year, he'd be a top 2-3 MVP candidate.
Absolutely. He's got to be in the top 5 talk, up there. But he's had a quieter season than he's usually had, but it's one of his best seasons. They're playing the Spurs. You can't do anything when you get that matchup. I mean, Clippers played pretty good throughout the year. The Spurs do what they always do. They coast, and then when it's go time, they... how many games do they rip off at the end of the year?
A lot.
Yeah. Tony Parker's one of the most underrated guards, in my opinion, in the league. I mean, he gets to the rim wherever. Quiet has been playing out of his mind. I mean, Duncan's still getting up and down the court.
He's a potential first-team All-NBA, depending on how you juke the positions. He could be the first-team All-NBA center. The man is unstoppable.
He is.
Here's my thing. The Clippers have one of the best offenses in the league this year. I think they finished number 1. I'm pretty sure. If it wasn't 1, it was number 2. Regardless, one of the best offenses in the league. Mm-hmm. That starting 5, you could put that starting 5 against pretty much any other starting 5 in the league, and they're going to outscore them. It's a beautiful thing watching them play. I mean, again, that piece I have coming on Friday that shows all the different spacing charts for shooting activity, those players complement each other perfectly. In terms of Jordan just stays at the rim, obviously. Redick and Barnes just hunt for threes on the edges, and then... Chris Paul and Blake Griffin dominate the mid-range. Yeah. It's a beautiful combination watching them play.
It's kind of, you bring up A good point. I think J.J. Redick is a huge kind of piece in this game. If he's shooting like he can and has been through most of the year, they have a very good chance to knock the Spurs off. I mean, this is a 3-6 matchup, but Clips, they're definitely a 3-seed, but San Antonio is not a 6, your typical 6-seed in. And
you know what would be great, though? Watching Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard.
That's going to be a great
body up Chris Paul and someone like J.J. Redick.
Yes, absolutely.
So here's the other thing. That great starting five, they could get defended quite well by this first team because Kawhi Leonard is not human, especially on defense. He's really come into his own this year once he got back from that injury. I don't see how the Spurs actually lose in the first round.
I don't either. I mean, you get Danny Green going off, and you got Ginobili coming in, and everybody knows what Ginobili does in the playoffs. I mean, he's not going to send the shooting box into, you know, an explosion and be like, wow, Ginobili just took this game over. But he does it in the right times.
Yeah.
And, you know, that ball spot and him, just go.
Embrace the ball.
Yes.
Male pattern ball. That's why we're here. That's why the long two exists. So you're saying Spurs? Doesn't it feel wrong?
It does.
To say this? Like, the Clippers had such a great year. DeAndre Jordan is potentially defensive player of the year. I don't agree with that, but he will potentially win that award. Chris Paul is a first team.
Great.
Is likely a first team All-NBA player. Like I just said about DeAndre Jordan, they've had an amazing year. One of the best offenses in the league. Oh, to my point before, the problem is that bench. Big Baby, Turkoglu, Austin Rivers.
I was just going to say that. I'm sitting here looking at the depth chart right now for the Spurs, and I mean, they're not loaded, but they have good players coming in. Patty Mills plays great. You got Bellinelli. You know, Kyle Anderson can even do a little bit. You know, Boris Diaw. You got Matt Bonner. I mean, Manu Ginobili. You don't have a lot of people that are, wow, these guys are blowing teams up. They would be starting somewhere else. No, but they come in and they do what they can.
It's always about the system with them.
They know it.
The system is beautiful.
Yes.
The spacing is immaculate. They do things with the ball that
they've
taken the D'Antoni system and just taken it to new
Absolutely.
Heights. It's amazing to watch that evolution over time. They just are able to do things other teams can't. And since it's systematic, they can just plug and play players as they need to, and they've obviously done that over the years. We haven't even talked about Diaw, who once he's in the right role, man,
he can still ball.
Graceful.
Yes.
He is
absolutely
graceful.
But I mean, you got nobody. I mean,
Jamal Crawford is the answer for the
Yeah, I'm looking at Jamal Crawford, but I mean,
Jamal Crawford can still ball, absolutely.
He can, but I mean, you gotta, I mean, he's a 6'5 shooting guard. I mean, he's throwing up 15 points a game, looks like. But
in good faith and conscience, I cannot knowingly
not
say the Spurs will not advance to the second round.
I just can't until they're, you know, it's one of those things. It's like betting against Tom Brady in the playoffs. You just don't.
Thankfully, I don't watch football anymore.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. I'm going to say Spurs in 6.
I am going to say based off of the way these two played against each other throughout the year, I'm going with Spurs in 7.
Spurs in 7. I like it. That means, well, in both our cases, they got to steal some in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from what I've heard lately and from what I've read, not heard, I don't have sources or anything, but from what I've read, the Staples Center hasn't exactly been that much of a home court advantage for the Clippers, but I went to a Spurs-Wizards game out here in D.C., and I couldn't believe the amount of Spurs fans that were out here.
Spurs have a nice following.
It's that international thing.
It
they
is.
Got fans all over the world.
Yep.
So it goes. So Spurs out.
I mean, these guys, the home and home, they were, series was tied 2-2, and they were both 1-1. At each other's homes, so yeah, I think
there's a deciding factor here, and it's incredibly important. And from all the other podcasts that I listen to and all the blogs that I've read, no one's brought this up. Which point guard has had a better on-screen commercial character? Cliff Paul versus Little Penny. Who wins? One-on-one. Cliff Paul versus Lil Penny. You weren't ready for that, were you?
Wasn't ready for that one.
No, you shouldn't be.
Oh, wow.
Welcome to the long two.
Goodness. You gotta go with Cliff Paul.
You're going Cliff Paul?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I don't know.
He's gonna post up Lil Penny?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I mean, come on. Cliff Paul, and now you got all the other guys coming off there. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Here's what I think happens. Cliff Paul alleges he gets fouled. Lil Penny gets the rebound and keeps scoring. While Cliff Paul's complaining the entire time, Lil Penny wins.
That's true. That's a good point.
That's true. Related. Nah, I'll wait till later for that. That's another tangent. I just needed to address that. But, yeah. Oh! Nah, we'll talk about that later, too, if we have time. So the last matchup in the West is the 2-7. Houston-Dallas. The Battle of Texas.
Oh.
Two of the three Texas teams. Yep. The entire Southwest division. The useless divisions, but the entire division got here.
Uh-huh.
It's impressive.
It is.
It's disproportionate and not right. But
very much so.
I digress. Before we get to this, your thoughts on the Thunder and Russell Westbrook. How do you feel about how all that ended? I mean, that was an amazing season.
It was.
I said Kawhi Leonard's not human. Russell Westbrook is clearly not human.
No, he's not. You know, you watch him play, you wonder how long his body could take that kind of punishment.
Like a dent in the face punishment?
Yeah, and the guy just is a freak. Yeah, I mean, who gets a dent? It's a dent in their face.
It's amazing.
You know, and they keep him rolling with the players they lost. I mean, look at everything that, you know, with Durant, I mean, come on. You lose Durant. I mean, that's taking a major.
No Ibaka. No Durant.
Ibaka. I mean, you look at the pieces he lost, and he was able to carry that team into one.
Constant injuries from Westbrook.
Yes, I think they're close to blowing it up.
You think?
I think so.
That's a bold. Forget the LaMarcus Aldridge's Dirk Nowitzki.
They're close to blowing it up. I think one of the two.
Ooh.
And when I mean blowing it up, I mean one of the two superstars leaving.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because they've got a culture. Grantland had an amazing piece about the Oklahoma City Thunder culture and how they relate to the media because there's been a lot of blow-ups this year. There is often with them. And not saying good or bad on either side, but it's really interesting. They've got an us-against-the-world mentality, so it seems. And they've got, like, a thing there. And the guy that didn't fit, Reggie Jackson, he left. Like,
yep.
So,
I mean, I totally get that. And I'm not talking to blow up by next year. I think next year, if they don't get the run that they're looking for, it's done.
Is this a subtle KD to DC claim?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
They may have a slight little, you know, KD come home kind of thing.
So I should point out that for those that are geographically challenged, we are in Lucas, Virginia. The closest major team is the Washington Wizards. We tend to be homers a little bit, but I am a Knicks fan. I will go on record saying that I'm a Knicks fan. I can't wait for the lottery. But anyway.
Any Knicks fan that will go on record as a Knicks fan is definitely a fan.
You appreciate
that.
You
are a true fan.
So the one thing I'll say about Westbrook is they didn't make the playoffs. He fought to get them that close and didn't make it. I kind of like that they didn't make it in that regard. I hate narrative. I hate the narrative that goes with things, but at the same time, that's a clean narrative.
We'll
always remember this season for a variety of different things. One of them will be all those triple doubles and a dent in the face, right? But it ended. It doesn't have to end with him continuing this on into the playoffs. It just ended at the regular season, and we can move on to the rest of the year. I don't know. Something nice with that.
No, there is nice. I mean, he's a heck of a player, and he puts it all on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think we've said it six times already. A dent in the face.
Dent in the face. We might change the name of this podcast to Dent in the Face. We'll see how that goes. It's not a bad idea. All right, so Houston-Dallas, 2-7. Who do you like? What do you like here?
I like Houston. You can't. I mean, they've got teams that are low. They got a guy who goes left every single time and gets to the free throw line. You know exactly what he is doing.
And he does it anyway.
He does it anyways, right in your face. He shoots 25 free throws a game. I think
he gets about. I think he. is it 10 made free throws a game? He set a record this year for sure. He also played the most minutes in the league.
I mean,
he's like the current villain of the NBA, which hurts is. Because as an Arizona State alumni, I am by charter have to like James Harden, and I do anyway.
Yeah.
But
you can't fight the beard.
No, you know, should you? You can't resist.
You know, that his game is you know, not he's built to have his kind of game, I think, for a long time, because it's not explosive. I'm getting up to the rim by these up and unders and going through and, you know, all these crazy moves. He does exactly what he wants you to do. He kind of gives you a little hang dribble, and then he busts into the lane. I mean, he gets there, he gets fouled, he gets on the line, he hits his free throws.
I feel like he doesn't get enough respect for his actual moves and ability to get to the rim. There's so much emphasis on, oh, they're playing a video game with the cheat codes, and they're juking the system, and they're exploiting all these inefficiencies, and it's not real basketball, and all these other things. But at the same time, there's a lot of isolation of James Harden, and he will take his defender. Like you were saying, he will get to where he wants to go. That is a legit skill that's always been necessary that he possesses.
Absolutely.
He would do that in any system.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you have to do these dribble drives like Steph Curry, you know, where you have to make somebody fall down. I mean, Harden's just a bigger guy than Curry, and his ability to get to the rim is, I mean, it's really just off of fundamental kind of basketball and God-given explosiveness that is kind of freakish.
I have a slight confession. I like Josh Smith.
Ooh.
I do. Ooh. I can't help it. I always have. I always wanted to see him flourish in a system where he was like the third best player.
Well,
he's kind of past his prime now.
He's
a polarizing character. Obviously,
I Josh Smith is not a bad guy. When he gets it going, I mean, he can ball.
I remember Josh Smith winning dunk contests and blocking everything in sight, and the shot selection in Detroit is what really kind of drove everyone.
Yeah.
But one of the years with Atlanta, when he wasn't the best player and Joe Johnson and Al Horford were around, and that he was at his best when he was at limited usage.
Absolutely.
Houston took a chance picking him up this year. I was glad they did, because if there was any system that he could fall into and kind of fall in line with their structure, like when you look at their shot chart, it's the weirdest thing. It's all threes and at the rim and nothing else. He's sprinkled in the mid-range a little, because it's Josh Smith.
You mean
it's
the long suit?
Yeah, he is. So, he also embodies, he might be a better logo, actually. No, we got options. I got a lot to do after we record this. But the point being, he fell into a good system. It's good to see. He was virtually playing center while Howard was out.
Absolutely. He's versatile enough to do that.
I'm going to butcher this name, but Montiquinus,
yes.
I think I just said that right.
Yep.
That injury kills them, because that guy is good.
Huge.
He is low-key good. No one was tracking on him.
Mm-hmm.
Like him a lot. And Beverly.
Yeah.
That's a killer right there.
Yeah, they've got two. I mean, Beverly's down on there. He's got at least two. I mean, Terry and Johnson, I think, are both better than Beverly. And
you think Jason Terry's better than Patrick Beverly?
Yeah, better.
NBA skills champion Patrick Beverly?
Sure, he did win the skills challenge.
With the last second three. I forget who it was against. I think it was against Brandon Knight.
Right.
He
was the worst shooter of the group, wasn't he?
No, I love Beverly. I love Beverly
he's
because
he's
he is a defender.
Yes.
I love him in this system because he's a defender that doesn't need to score. He is the perfect point guard for them.
Absolutely.
My boy Pablo Prigioni went there, he is a good second or third point guard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can't log serious minutes for them, so you're right, Terry's going to have to play the point for them. But those injuries are a problem. Dwight still is potentially hurt. I don't know if he's fully healthy or not. So it's still the James Harden show with a sprinkle in the cash net.
Well, I like the trifecta. With the trifecta is Trevor Ariza.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he left the Wizards, and you can tell the Wizards missed his shooting, and he's been shooting the ball at pretty good clip this year.
Ariza thrives in a system like this.
This
is what he was meant to do. Shoot threes, play D. That's
absolutely.
Why him and Beverly was such a nice combo, because they had defense with him, and then they have plenty of offense with Harden. It turns out there's another team in this matchup. It's not just Houston, but Dallas is playing too. Because all we've talked about is Houston so far.
Well, I mean, yeah. Big Dirt. He's done after this year, right?
No, you think so?
He said he was retiring.
He's still got a few more years, I would think.
Even his fadeaways not getting...
He definitely doesn't log...
He's not fading anymore.
He's not logging the shots that he used to, which is kind of expected. Ellis has picked up some of it. This is a Chandler Parsons revenge series right here for either team, however you want to look at it. I don't think Chandler Parsons has performed as well as Dallas would have hoped. I think his shooting percentage, his three-point percentages are down this year, but he's still a weapon. I think the bigger issue was Rondo. I've always liked Rondo.
I have
in that
too,
role. The problem is he doesn't mesh well with the offense they have.
Rondo hasn't meshed well since his Celtics run with anybody, really. I'll be honest. I like J.J. Barea sitting behind him, and you got Raymond Felton, which I don't think he's.
We can't discuss Raymond Felton on this podcast.
Okay, that's fine.
Ever again. That
I don't care. J.J. Barea is obviously give up a lot on the defensive end just from size, but I mean, I think he runs an offense well. He's one of those guys. I think he's like 47, and he just never stops. He's sneaky good. I mean, I'm not saying he is
in the right. At the right time.
He's not somebody who's going to change the series, but, I mean, obviously it's all going to come down on Dirk.
Funny you should mention that, because some would argue he changed that finals in 2011. That the Mavs specifically knew to use him against the Heat to exploit some inefficiencies in their defense.
I mean...
Interesting, right?
Yeah.
Good old J.J. Barea.
Yeah, look at that. J.J. Barea.
They still have Devin Harris, too. It's a good team against the Rockets. Honestly, it's kind of a coin flip. The two and the seven in the West, these numbers are irrelevant. However, yeah, they're irrelevant. So, who do you like in this?
Oh, man. You know, this is one of the harder picks.
It might be the hardest in the West.
I think this is easily. Well, yeah. I think other than the Clips and Spurs.
Don't worry. We have some statistics. Ben Alomar, who runs ESPN Stats and Info, all-around good dude and has great information, especially on Twitter, he posted the playoff odds for every series.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a 54% chance of the Rockets winning, obviously a 46% chance of the Mavs winning, and they have it listed at most likely the Rockets winning in 7. Which supports some of what we're claiming right now, that it's kind of a coin flip. Jeremias Engelman, who is an all-around stats, complete kung fu OG when it comes to it.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of great stuff on the old APRM forums. He has the most likely is Houston in 5.
I am...
They've got now, for our listeners who have probably already seen those charts, they've got all kinds of analytic kung fu packed into those in terms of regular season matchups, records, injuries, everything else that's gone into the season and how these teams have gotten there. That's what their projections are. I'm not saying that's what we need to go with, because at the lone two, we have a nice balance of statistics and non-statistics.
That's right.
But what do you think? What do you got here?
Let's see. Vegas is sitting on them. The Mavericks at +300. Yes, I go to Vegas when I have trouble figuring out things.
You know what? It's all about accessing all the information you can get your hands on and making it informed.
Some of those guys just know what they're doing. I think with the way Harden's playing, you have to go with the Rockets. I think he's the biggest star in this series. He is the biggest star in this series. Dirk I love Dirk. I loved watching him. Seven footer could shoot like that. What can't you like about him? But Harden right now is playing at an MVP level, and he will probably be the runner up for the MVP.
Noted.
If he doesn't win, he'll be the runner up. So those guys seem to get their teams at least through the first round. And
how many games?
6.
6. I have Rockets in 7.
Nice.
During that thorough explanation, I decided to just type it in. I have a theory before we move on to the Eastern Conference.
Do it.
Dwight Howard is potentially still hurt, right?
Yes.
I don't know.
I didn't even mention his name.
He's had back issues since the Lakers. clearly, mm-hmm. right? Probably before then, but they were most notable during the Lakers season. He played hurt for most of that year, it appears. That was probably why some of his numbers were down. Everything else, right? When I get hurt, I am an average human being, I would argue, physically. And when it comes to basketball talent, I'm probably slightly below average, right? Overall, across the world. When I get hurt, I have a certain tolerance for pain, and I feel a certain level of pain. Dwight Howard is arguably superhuman and exceptionally physically gifted. I don't think that's an egregious claim to make. No. I think that's fairly safe to say,
right? No, you just look at him, you're like,
when someone that is that exponentially physically more gifted and more talented and more athletic than average, when they get injured, is it an equal rate of injury? Like, is the pain equivalent or is it more? Is it worse? I say this with no way to actually test this. I just bring this up as a thought. Like, so if him and I have the same injury, does it actually hurt him more because he's got more physical gifts? Like, there's
so what
more
you're saying there. Is, since his muscle is bigger, does it hurt more?
I guess. What I'm saying is, Dwight Howard is more of a man than I'll ever be. So does he feel pain at a higher level than I'll ever experience?
I'm not sure. You know, some of these guys, you know, I've caught cramps. I caught cramps in the Marine Corps. I caught cramps on the basketball court. I've never had to be carried off the court, you know, or carried out of the area with cramps.
The LeBron issue also.
Yes,
so it's like,
I mean, you know, and
are there exponential levels of this relative to your own physical gifts? But
now,
it's not a one-to-one
if
thing.
If it's your back can, I mean, that's a brutal thing to hurt. Mm-hmm. And anybody who's had a back injury can agree and attest to that it is not fun.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I wonder the same thing all the time. I see these guys getting hurt, they get punished, and, you know, slam the ground, and they pop right back up and they run. I'm like, okay, I would be out for a month in traction with that. But yet, they get cramps, they're carried off, they have a backache, they're done for months.
Kevin Love, who we're about to get into. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's my point, is I just wonder, again, I don't think there's a good way to test this, because measuring levels of pain in different people in different circumstances. Mm-hmm. There's no way to really control that, as far as I can tell right now. But it's an interesting idea that is the pain exponentially worse because of the physical gifts?
You also have to look at, you know, the amount of zeros in his bank account right now, too. You know, how much, you know.
Are you saying that the money can work as a
money
backphrase?
Money can talk a little bit.
We're going to move on to the Eastern Conference on that note. So far, we've disagreed on exactly zero things, but that's okay. All right, so let's start at the top. Atlanta-Brooklyn.
Atlanta blows through even with Cephalosha injured.
Yeah, this is a not if, but how many, I think.
Yeah, this is, I think Brooklyn's going to steal one of this.
Do you?
Yeah, I think they're going to steal one, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Okay. And the only reason I'm saying they're going to steal one is just due to the Cephalosha kind of stuff that's going on. I think it could be potential distraction for Brooklyn to sneak one. And I'm throwing this out there as a very small chance that they steal one. But, I mean, I have Atlanta in what, five?
Okay. You stole my exact prediction. I'm also saying Atlanta in five for completely different reasons. It's a Joe Johnson revenge series, to a certain degree, playing the Hawks right now. But when you watch Joe Johnson, if Brooklyn can keep one game close, and then Joe Johnson takes over for them in the last 2 minutes of the game, Joe Johnson can still finish a game. Say whatever you want about him seven times. You know, Joe Johnson's a seven-time All-Star.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem quite right, but he is.
No, he
can finish a game. He's actually one of the few guys where you want him to have the ball at the end of the game. He will find a way to score. My whole point being, I think Brooklyn can stay close at least one game. And in that one game, Joe Johnson just gets the ball, owns those last few minutes, and they win the game. I don't know if it's in Brooklyn or Atlanta. I think they get one. I also think, so Atlanta has a fairly weak interior defense when it comes to defensive rebounding and just guarding bigs. Brook Lopez will probably average close to 25 points a game, if not more. The funny thing about the rebounding is, even though Atlanta is a poor defensive rebounding team, Brook Lopez is notoriously known for being a bad rebounder.
Absolutely.
So those two essentially cancel each other out. And if there's any one weakness on Atlanta, if there's any two weaknesses, it's their relative inexperience of the bench, relatively speaking.
Relative,
their defensive rebounding issues. the Nets don't really pose a problem for either of those things.
No. I mean... So,
Hawks in five. Yeah. Brooklyn somehow squeaks one out.
Definitely.
Atlanta still does the pick swap at the end of the year, which is funny. More importantly, related to this, and I'll explain in a minute why, I need your take on sleeve jerseys.
The worst things ever. Okay. I play basketball now, and I'm old and slow, and I can't wear sleeves. So I cut the sleeves off of T-shirts if I have them. If we're given a jersey and we have sleeves on there, I wouldn't know what to do. I don't understand people who play with sleeves, and I don't understand why jerseys are going to sleeves. So I'll leave it at that.
I agree. I think sleeve jerseys are one of the worst ideas I've ever seen. However, this is a big however. I used to think that the Clippers, which is why I was going to bring this before, but I got distracted by a little penny talk. I used to think that the Clippers, the baby blue joints had with the sleeves, those were, out of a sea of terribleness, those were a wave of goodness.
Right.
You follow me on
that? No,
I liked those. But then, last night...
They're weird.
No, last night I saw the Brooklyn sleeved ones. They're all, like, light gray with the blue writing.
I really
liked
it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to buy a jersey in the near future. I'm not going to do it.
That's good.
If I was going to purchase one, if someone handed me money and said, you can only use this on a jersey, I'm buying the next one.
I'm not buying anything.
I'm representing that one. I'm wearing...
You want sleeves on under your basketball jersey? You wear a t-shirt, just like we did back...
Just saying.
Back when it was...
You know what? But you know, if all I can do
jerseys.
Is buy a jersey, I'm buying the next one. I'm getting the next one. I like it. I like it a lot. So, I digress. Moving forward, Eastern Conference. No, we're doing 4-5 at the end.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
Skip to the bottom of the bracket. 2-7, Cleveland-Boston. It's not if, but how many? Let's be honest with each other.
Yes.
Not if,
I
but
mean,
how many.
Yeah. Do you think Boston can steal one?
Yes.
I do, too. I think Cleveland still, their defense has a lot to be proven. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Boston can score enough to steal one, though. That's the issue.
Boston has done amazing things with an overall below average level of talent. That sounds really rude, but I'm just being honest. Like, generally speaking, position by position, they don't match up with
the
Cavs.
They just don't have that.
The fact that they're the seventh
seed. Well, I mean, you can't match up with the Cavs. You don't have a lot of people that match up with the Cavs.
No, but I mean, even with Brooklyn, you can say, give me Joe Johnson.
Are you ready for their... Do you know the Boston starting five right now?
Yes. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
I won't look. You have it up right now?
Yeah, I got it up right now. Let's hear it.
Tyler Seller.
Yep.
Jared Sollinger.
No.
Oh! You're
so close.
Hold on. I'll get back. I'll name five of them, though. All right. Tyler Seller. Marcus Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Avery Bradley.
There it is.
Kelly Olynyk?
No, so close.
Evan Turner.
Yep.
Brandon Bass.
That's it. Okay.
I only know this because for the piece that I did for Friday, Nylon Calculus playoff preview, the most used lineup. So not the starting lineup, but the most used was Sullinger, Bradley, Isaiah Thomas, even though they just got him.
Yeah.
Zeller, and...
He's been playing great ball, by the way.
Evan Turner. Yeah. But anyway.
But, I mean, Marcus Smart and Evan Turner were phenomenal in college. Zeller was, too. I mean, these guys have experience. They can win big games. But you're going up against the Cavs. I mean, it's not the Cavs are an overwhelming great team, but...
They are an overwhelming great team.
Yeah, though. They are.
On offense? That offense is a thing of beauty. It's humming.
They're all... They're all freaks of their position. Even Kyrie. I mean, his ability to score from anywhere on anyone is... Yeah, it has to be noted. And
Kyrie's coming to his own this year. There's a lot of stats to back this up, but I mean, he was All-Star MVP last year. But this year, I mean, in this role, he's taken off. He doesn't have to be a normal point guard. His assist numbers are not those.
I think he had trouble, you know, figuring that out early on. And I tell you what, Mozgov
is legit.
He turned that team around.
If I can take you back into the Wayback Machine and always center things on the Knicks, what held up the Carmelo Anthony trade originally was Timofey Mozgov. The Knicks, of all teams, did not want to part with Timofey. They did eventually because it's Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
But he was the sticking point that held up that trade for the longest time. So it's interesting.
They are set. The bench looks good. They've got J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith's in line, and again, watched him as a Nick. When he's used correctly and in the right dosage and not given a lot of freedom of movement and restricted to you will shoot threes and that's about it, incredibly useful player.
Yep.
The he doesn't get enough credit for his defense.
He does, yeah, he plays tough defense. You know, I've never been a huge J.R. Smith fan because I think he's one of those guys that thinks he can. He's automatic after he hits one, and he'll take a lot of bad shots. I mean,
you don't like that?
I love that.
I mean, I don't care if you got the green light, and you know, go ahead, light it up, shoot that ball. But I mean, be open at least facing the basket. You know, I mean, come on, give it something.
All right, so Cavs and how many?
I got the Cavs and. It, you know, I hate taking sweeps, but I just think the Cavs are rolling.
I'll go Cavs in five. Boston steals one in Boston for no valid reason other than Cleveland's not completely engaged in the game.
That's probably the best reason. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Here's another toss-up. Chicago-Milwaukee. That deep sigh is telling right there.
Here's
Rose. I actually...
Are they better or worse without?
They are always better with Derrick Rose. Any team.
Right now.
Well, all
right. Right now.
Here's what I'll say about the Bulls. I, before the season, did some analysis and absolutely loved the Bulls' starting lineup. I thought spatially on offense for shooting purposes, adding Gasol was just a match made in heaven. I love it, and I did some stuff at the end of the season now, and it didn't look like I projected it to look,
right,
but it still looks really good.
Yeah.
The other thing about the Bulls is they have that mentality of they're a hard-nosed team. They're a defensive team. They shut people down. They're not a good defense anymore.
No. They haven't been for a while.
They're an offensive team now.
They are.
So the interesting thing is Milwaukee is a defensive team. Jason Kidd has done some work out there. They got all the length and all the defense.
And they don't have a lot of scoring. That's where... And you know, that's what I think that's where the issues are going to come up for Milwaukee. You know, Bulls beat them. You know, Milwaukee grabbed one game. It was the last game that Milwaukee, you know. So they did get one with... Chicago kind of on their, but I mean, this is with Rose in there, they're a different team. He's starting to play better. He's looked better and better and better and better. You know, I thought him coming back in, you know, the Bulls always seem to do that. They play great. He gets hurt. They play, you know, they figure out a way to play great again.
They love adversity.
They thrive off of it. And now they're going in and he's finally healthy in the playoffs. And you're like, okay, what's he going to do? You know?
Yes, absolutely.
But Milwaukee is one of those teams, you know, defense can win you around.
Absolutely.
A series, you know.
So the good news is you've got Chicago's offense against Milwaukee's defense. That makes for a very entertaining matchup.
I mean, but we talked about the Celtics starting lineup. Can you even go with the Bucks?
Yes. You want me to right now?
Well, I can't pronounce half of them, so I want you to say them, and then I'll say them.
Number one, point guard, Michael Carter Williams.
Yeah.
That's easy. Chris Middleton.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yep, that's it.
You know, Giannis.
Perfect.
Ersan Ilyasova.
Yep.
And Zaza Pachulia.
Zaza.
It's not fair because I was looking at this data the other night. So the most used lineup from the Bucks is their starting lineup. First of all, they were the worst team in the league last year and they made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously in a flawed conference system.
Right.
We can discuss that in episodes 5, 6, and 7, whatever the case is. But they made the playoffs this year, and the potential rookie of the year, Jabari Parker, barely played. So this is a great story. They're poised to make a run that has no bearing on the playoffs. I gotta go Bulls.
I gotta go Bulls.
I'm gonna say the Bulls sweep them.
Wow.
I don't see how the Bucks.
I'm gonna say the Bulls in five.
I hadn't called the sweep yet, so
no,
issue of not being predictable.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one to pick. I mean,
someone brought this up today. I forget. It might have been, who was it? It might have been one of the ESPN guys. Is that Chicago playing in Milwaukee is virtually a home game, just because they're so close in proximity. And so, if home court advantage means anything, it essentially, what I'm saying is, it might not mean anything.
No, I think the Bucks are going to get one. Just their size may be overwhelming, at least for a night. The Bulls are a little off. That's fine. I mean, they still have. I mean, who's lighting it up for the Bulls from the outside?
Mike Dunleavy.
That's what I said. Who's lighting it up for the Bulls?
Oh, you like Mike Dunleavy?
I like Mike Dunleavy.
Oh, Mike Dunleavy is violent from the outside.
I know.
I love him from the wings.
He's being a Wizards fan, I've seen Dunleavy tear up the Wizards quite a few times.
He's a shoot specialist. I love
it. He is. But, I mean, he's not. I think the length can get to him for one game.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Chris Middleton is in the 3-and-D for nothing. That's fair. All right, Bulls in 5, Bulls sweep. The last series. The one that's probably nearest and dearest to our hearts at this point.
Yes.
Which is funny because it's probably the series that the average fan cares the least about.
It is, but you know what? It's one of the toughest, I think.
It's because here at the Long 2, we handle tough problems.
We do.
We don't want the easy ones. We want your hard problems. Which is why we saved the best for last. The 4-5, Toronto and Washington.
Yes. Raptors swept the Wizards this year, 3-0.
Both teams, before the All-Star break, looked like they were going to finish in the top three. That it was going to be the Hawks, them, and the two of them. And the Cavs were struggling. People were talking about, are the Cavs even going to have home court in the playoffs? All that kind of stuff. The Raptors and the Wizards look great, and here they are now, not looking great.
Totally flipped the script. I mean, they both went from potential fighting for a number one to a number two seed to, all right, let's just get in here. Let's just do what we got to do. I mean, they're both coming in at a 4-5. I think Washington locked up the 5 seed like, you know, weeks ago. I mean, they were just basically, you know, treading water. The last time they played was their closest game, and Toronto won by 2.
It wasn't, I think one of the games was an overtime game also.
It may have been. Yeah, because they had a 120. Toronto won 120 to 116, something like that.
It's been a pretty tight series all year. They're the 4-5 already. It's going to be, I think, a tight matchup.
I think this is going to be a very tight matchup. I think John Wall is having one of his best years ever.
If I like Damian Lillard, I love John Wall. John Wall.
He's great to watch, and he's really starting to mature. The only thing I don't like about the Wizards is the end-of-game possessions. Their end-of-game possessions are horrible, and we saw it against, what was the game that we
Thunder.
Won? The
we
Thunder.
The
that was
Westbrook
horrible.
Dance game.
Really? I mean, just you're going to dribble up top for 45 seconds and then shoot that? You know, I mean, obviously, they've got to have something running. Pierce has been resting.
What you describe speaks to a larger issue. After timeouts and fourth quarter game management have been questionable at best for this Washington team this year, some might argue that comes back to coaching. I'm not here to name names and call people Randy Whitman out, but you got to think that there could be coaching changes in the very near horizon.
I think if the Wizards lose this series, Whitman is mostly out.
Ryan Wolstadt from the Toronto Sun, about a month ago, brought up the idea of what if the Wizards fired their coach right before the playoffs and just started fresh right before. Like, it just changed the whole culture of the team. Right? I think it's one of the most dangerous things you can do, obviously.
Yeah.
But could you imagine Mike D'Antoni with that lineup, that roster?
No, I
that starting five? I don't know why there isn't a greater movement for that. I think it would be amazing to see John Wall and Beal unleashed on the Mike D'Antoni system.
I've heard spec of Thibodeau, too.
Interesting.
Not knowing. That's been real loose spec, light spec. But, I mean, it is coaching because it isn't.
We haven't even talked about Gortat not playing in fourth quarters and the overall
lack
reluctance
of everything
to shoot three-pointers.
I've never seen shooters not want to shoot a three. For me, I mean, just say, am I going to take two steps in to take a, you know, 19-footer, or am I going to just stay, keep my feet and just shoot the three ball?
I think when you're playing basketball, you can. There's a couple different ways you can run an offense. You can either do a take what the defense gives you, and as soon as you have an open shot, that's what you take. Or you can try to drive that situation into, not physically drive, but drive it into the possession that you want, into the shot that you're looking for.
Absolutely.
It seems like a lot of times, and the data's there to back this up, is that the Wizards will look for the open shot, the first one that they get, and then take that available one, and not force their will upon the defense, but react to what the defense is doing against them, which seems like a less than good way to play basketball.
I think with the Wizards having the size that they have, they do have some big guys. You know, Nene, Humphreys, Gortat. I mean, they have guys in there. John Wall passing up a three-pointer, okay, I'm good with that. But everybody passes them up. And, I mean, Rasul Butler, who couldn't miss, who finally, you know, was like,
came back
hey,
to earth.
Look at me, you know, I'm the greatest 3-point shooter ever. And
those
then
percentages
was like,
were
oh,
unsustainable, but they were fantastic.
They were amazing while they lasted. But absolutely. Now, I mean, you know, they have to shoot threes. You cannot win in today's NBA if you can't shoot the three ball, especially in the playoffs. There's just too many defensive rules to keep you. You just can't win by playing inside, really, anymore. You have to be able to hit the open three when it's there.
And
they just are reluctant to even shoot.
Offensive issues aside, they are akin to a poor man's Clippers. Now, people might completely disagree with that, but my point being is that starting five is legit. I love that starting five. It's big up front, and they've got plenty of scoring potential, but that bench is shallow. I like Chris Humphreys. In the right role, Chris Humphreys is perfect for them.
Why is everybody in love in this town with Otto Porter Jr.?
He
is below par. I mean, he's not good.
He went to Georgetown.
He doesn't even look fluid on offense. Good defender. I think he's an underrated defender. He has the size. He can guard different positions. But, wow. I mean, he's goofy. I mean, that's kind of the only word for it. I just don't see it on offense. He's had some sparks. He's had some good games. But, I mean, just the, you know.
The good news is the Raptors are deeper, but they're not incredibly deep. The Raptors also don't shoot a lot of threes. Arguably their best player, Kyle Lowry's probably their best player because he was an all-star and everything. Mm-hmm. But DeMar DeRozan is not prolific behind three-point.
No.
So
Vasquez isn't going to light it up. Yeah, I like him too. You know, he's...
He is a great backup point guard. Like, that is a perfect role for that player.
Who wins?
You know, okay, here's what it comes down to. I'd say my reason for, you know, the Wizards taking this is Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal wakes up.
Ooh.
And I think the Wizards take it in six.
Wizards in six. Say Wizards in seven. They somehow steal one in Toronto, which is an incredibly difficult place to play.
It is.
By all accounts.
I
read something in the Washington Post today talking about how Paul Pierce just told John Wall that it is a painful place. Like,
yeah.
That crowd gets into it.
They get into
it. We the North. It's a Twitter thing. By the way, Steve's not on Twitter yet. This is a low-key.
I have to get my tweeter.
Yes,
my tweeter
exactly.
Handle.
So, in conclusion, we have all the same picks. I don't know what we've achieved except agreement, which is good. So rapid fire. Let's do this real quick.
All right. Let's go.
So second round. That would mean we have Golden State and Memphis. Who wins?
Golden State.
All right. Golden State. We have the Spurs versus the Rockets. Who wins?
I'm taking the Spurs.
Perfect. Warriors Spurs. Conference final. Who takes it?
Go Golden State.
Golden State.
Those guys are coming out. They are a force to be reckoned with right now.
I'm going to say San Antonio.
Yeah?
And I'm not going to explain why. You
got
to tune into future episodes to find out.
I got it.
I'm saying San Antonio's going to the finals.
I want to know how they beat them.
We got to get at least two clicks on this link.
We got to get one.
Our rapid fire Eastern Conference. We've got the Hawks and the Wizards. Who advances? Put your homerism aside.
Atlanta. They're just too big and too fast, too athletic for the Wizards.
Agreed.
Chicago, Cleveland.
Cleveland. As much as it pains me.
Again, I can't disagree with that. Cleveland, Atlanta.
You know, Cephalosha was playing... He was really playing solid for him. He wasn't an all-star world beater, but he was playing solid. Oh, man, this is going to be tough. You know, if Atlanta's rolling through like they should from the first and the second round, I think they have the best opportunity to beat Cleveland, and I'm going to take Atlanta over Cleveland.
I am legitimately surprised.
Yeah?
And I'll take Cleveland.
Nice.
Because I don't think you can go against LeBron James at the Conference Finals. I don't know how. But I understand. Everything you said is entirely rational, and I can't disagree with it. It's LeBron James.
It is LeBron James. And I've seen him be carried on with cramps. I've seen him defer how many times. I don't totally trust him in big pressure situations. And we've never seen Kyrie Irving in big pressure situations.
I know,
and
we've
never seen... When's the last time Kevin Love has been in a big pressure situation?
Arguably UCLA.
So, I mean, you have to know... These guys have to play all together. LeBron cannot do it by himself. We've seen that many times. He can't. He can, but he's just not that type of player to really... He can't Jordan a game. He can't... going old school, he can't Jordan Bird or Johnson the game. He could if he wanted to, but, you know, and he does. He has. But, I mean, is it consistent? I mean.
All right, so you say Golden State, Atlanta in the finals.
Yeah.
I say San Antonio, Cleveland in the finals.
At least we got a.
At least we mix it up there.
At least we're a little mixed up somewhere.
Who wins?
Come on.
Don't know. We'll find out.
Yes, sir.
Maybe next week. Maybe the week after. Steve, we did it.
We did.
It's episode one of the long two.
That is it. The long
put
two.
Put it here.
All right, sir.
Thanks for listening.
Much.
Please send us your feedback. Like
Absolutely.
It on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter. You're on Facebook, right?
I'm on Facebook.
Find him on Facebook.
Yes.
Encourage Steve to get a Twitter account because basketball
on
Twitter is fun.
It is.
And thanks for listening. Keep logging on to Nylon Calculus, checking out some of the articles out there. And otherwise, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Have a good night.
The long two.